Right. We return this morning to the subject of prayer. And last time we looked at the fact that the disciples produced a very good question when they approached Jesus and they asked, Lord, teach us to pray. We looked at that whole discovery in terms of the disciples coming to the point where they've watched Jesus and now they're coming to the place where they're asking, Lord, teach us to pray. So if you do or ever have struggled with prayer, then let me tell you, you're in good company. You're in good company. As it was obviously an issue for the disciples of Jesus that they'd come to that point to ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. So I suppose for most of us, almost all of our prayers begin with rushing into a series of requests in which we pour out to God our problems, our needs, or even our irritations. Each time it reinforces the focus of our attention on what is troubling us and perhaps even our frustrations at not having a remedy or a solution to solve whatever issues we have. And of course, you know, for some people, they can leave a time of prayer more upset and frustrated after they pray than they were beforehand. Others, when they have finished praying, the doubts start to come in. You know, you think to yourself, could my feeble words have been heard by the living God? Or have my words made any difference in the things that concern me? Jesus gave what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer in response to the disciples' request. But it's interesting, the disciples seem to have waited a long time to ask Jesus to teach them to pray. We know they've been with him at least for months, if maybe not a year or two. By the time they get to this point to ask, they have been watching, they've been seeing all in the way that he conducted himself. Excuse me. Prayer can be one of those subjects that we're not keen to speak up about. Who knows why the disciples waited so long before they asked Jesus about this very subject? But then what would we be like in their position? How would we approach Jesus? I'm sure none of us would want to appear ignorant as if we don't know what we're doing. Especially since, you know, when you gather together and things that you've seen, even here in church, there are always prayers at some point, you know, so it's familiar to us. And yet we can still be hesitant about praying. Now, it could be the thought of hearing our own voice. Maybe we're cautious in case the words we use, you know, they just don't sound right. Perhaps you're in a place where you say, you know, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to pray. Where do I start? And often these can be the very hurdles that hold us back from entering into prayer. And personally, I think no matter where we are, you know, where we're at in regards to prayer, we should always be in a place where we want to learn more. We want to discover more about Jesus. We want to be able to develop that relationship that we have with God and always be in that place of learning, especially when it comes to a relationship with God. And really, we can never ever know enough about him. We can never discover enough about God. So here we find the disciples have watched Jesus pray in every circumstance of life. They have seen him taking time to be alone in prayer. They also understand that Jesus lived a life where he was guided and he was empowered by prayer. And perhaps as they watched him pray, it caused them to realize how very little they actually knew about prayer. So whatever the cause, we should be grateful that they turned to Jesus and they asked, Lord, teach us to pray. We're going to look at our first scripture, which is in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. said you want that echoing. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. There's actually some later manuscripts, you'd find it as a footnote in your Bible that says, but deliver us from the evil one, in reference to Luke's gospel. So we see that Jesus not only answered the question in the form of a prayer, one that, you know, has actually endured throughout all the centuries, and it's sustained so many people in their faith as a result of that. But I should mention that the Lord's Prayer was not given just to be recited as a ritual. There's much more to it than that. This is the Lord's blueprint, if you like, his blueprint for prayer, something that is acceptable to God. And there is something tremendously important about the way Jesus answered the disciples' question. In Luke's gospel, we find his reply is, when you pray. The other record of this prayer is in Matthew, we'll come to that shortly, where Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. In other words, pray like this. He was giving them guidance. He's saying, pray like this. And really, he couldn't make it any clearer than that. Prayer is part of our relationship with God. It's not some kind of optional extra that we just add on when we gather together here in church. Jesus states, when you pray, pray like this. It's not if you pray, when you pray, but pray like this. So the first thing that we recognize is the instruction from Jesus. We're expected to pray. And this prayer given by Jesus was to show the disciples, this is the way that you should pray. How blessed are we that we also have the very same words today that were spoken by Jesus and given guidance to the disciples. We've been given this that we would also hopefully learn from it. So it's not just about the words that should be used, but recognizing that there's a difference between saying the Lord's Prayer and praying the Lord's Prayer. Saying the Lord's Prayer is simply just about reciting it. But when we go that bit deeper, you can actually learn how to pray through the guidance of the Lord's Prayer. I came across a quote from a guy called Elmer Towns. He's an American author and preacher. And he says, the effect of prayer is not measured by how loud you pray or how long you pray, or even if you say the words of the Lord's Prayer again and again in a repetitious fashion. Your prayer will be effective if you are sincere, and if you ask for the right things. Basically, it's about our approach and what we say. You know, when Matthew recorded the words of Jesus, he gave a bit more detail within this. Then we're going to look at that scripture. It's Matthew chapter 6, and it's verse 9 to 13. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. Okay. So Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And again, you'll find a footnote within the Bible, where some later manuscripts add, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And of course, this would be the most familiar scripture that's used when reciting the prayer. Both scriptures, in Luke and in Matthew, can be the relationship which is the foundation for everything else that we do as followers of Jesus. The first element that Jesus taught in prayer is how we address God, how we approach him. He uses the word Father. Now, this may seem very simplistic, but you know, that was actually a revolutionary statement that Jesus made. We know that the Aramaic word Jesus used was Abba, which was a much more reverent touch to it. It means something like dearest Father. So you hear the affection in it. It was dearest Father. And when Jesus came on the scene, he addressed God only as Father. We know that everyone used the word, but no one actually used it under any circumstances used in reference to God. The Gospels record Jesus' use of the word Father more than 60 times in his reference to God as his Father. Yet in all of the Old Testament, God is only referred to as Father 14 times, but this was always in relation to Israel as a nation, as a people, never on a personal level. No one in the entire history of Israel had ever prayed like Jesus. So there are things like that where we hear the word Father at the beginning of the prayer and we just say, oh, well, that's it. This was a revolutionary statement. No one else up to this time had ever addressed God personally as their Father. So this transformation in the use of this word changes the relationship with God from one of a distant, unapproachable deity to that of an intimate Father. Paul reinforced this in his letter to the Galatian church, chapter 4, verse 6, where he says, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So from the very outset of our prayer, it's having that recognition that God possesses a Father's heart. He possesses a Father's heart. And with that goes a Father's love, a Father's strength, and a Father's concern for the best interest of his children. And the truth is, some people may have had a difficult time relating to God as their Father. Fatherhood is an idea that we're all very familiar with. We may even project our expectations or an experience of what a father should be or has been onto our Heavenly Father. Something because of the experiences that we've gone through in our own life. I know that for myself, and I'm sure it's true for you, that over the years I have heard many stories and testimonies of people who have had a negative experience with their earthly father. And because of that, they have actually encountered a very real difficulty in accepting God as their Father because of what they've experienced. They take that on board and they start to relate that with the Heavenly Father and can lose out in that sense of who he is or who he wants to be to each of us. So what Jesus is introducing to each of us here is a relationship that's not of this earth. It's not anything like the experience that you've had or went through or had to endure. He's saying, no, this is different. It's not something that you'll have experienced on this earth. This is your Heavenly Father. This relationship is totally different from anything that you've ever known in your life or experienced. Don't associate Heavenly Father with any experience that you've had here on earth. So it's not a reflection of whatever concept that we have. This Father provides us with a profound sense of being loved. So this relationship is based on being part of God's family through faith in Jesus Christ. So it's unique to believers in Christ. Remember, this is not just a general prayer. This was Jesus teaching the disciples a whole new concept. And it's not based in anything that they'd known previously. This was brand new, straight out of the box. So God is not this angry judge looking for an opportunity to condemn us. Neither is he so aloof and distant and too busy to hear you. He is our Father. He is our Father and can be approached by his children. So it's about approaching God. That's what prayer is all about. When Jesus goes on then to say in his teaching, "Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name." This is about respectfully approaching God. He is not our big pal in the sky. That totally loses the reverence. Hallowed is certainly an old term, very seldom used today, but it is about showing reverence for who God is. And we recognise who God is and what he's done for us through this statement, "Hallowed be your name." We are placing God on the throne of our heart and being aware that we are in the presence of the Almighty God. The word hallowed comes from the old English word hallig, which means holy. So we are simply expressing that God's name is holy. But to take it a bit deeper, what does it really mean to be holy? To be holy is to be exalted, raised up, lifted high. It speaks of being perfect in goodness and righteousness. There is an aspect of perfection and worthiness involved each time we think of God's name as hallowed or holy. It should bring us to consider his greatness and his majesty. So how do we hallow his name? How do we profess him to be holy? We profess that with our lips. You see, the words that we express in adoration for who God is, what he has done through his Son, Jesus Christ, a holy God who accepts sinners just like us, forgiving us to the point that we can actually come into his presence, knowing that the sacrifice of Christ has allowed us to approach the Father, the holy God. So therefore, expressing our adoration, it can be done privately, it can be done publicly, and it can also be seen in our actions, how we conduct ourselves out of reverence for God. So therefore, we conduct ourselves in a manner that honours his holy name. That's where you get the statement about Christ being seen in us, being evident in us. You know, Vivian mentioned this morning that she chose the songs of worship today that has the theme of the goodness of God. When we worship with words of adoration and love, we are then expressing it publicly. We are making a public declaration of who God is and what it is that he actually means to us. They're not empty words. They are words where we can express from our heart what it is that we want to say to the Lord. And it's good to be able to do that in worship. And in many ways, it's much easier to express our love for God when we meet together like this. But this is also about how we are outside. It's not just about here, it's about what we are like when we're outside. Do other people see God in you? Do they recognize it's a holy God that we worship? Do our actions back up our lifestyle? Are we courteous and caring towards everyone because you just like to be nice? Or is it because the change that a holy God has made in our lives is now evident? That's for another sermon. Prayer is all about our relationship with God. But it's also an overflow of what's going on inside us. Where it's heard when we speak out, whether that's done in private or whether that's done in public, it's an overflow of what is going on inside us. So if we can begin by opening ourselves up to the Father, expressing our love and adoration for the perfect good, gracious, loving God that he is, that's always the best place to start. So then our prayers become and begin with the focus on God. The things that's going on in our lives is secondary. Let's get into his presence. Let's recognize who he is and the fact that he is willing to hear our prayers. We only want to look at those two sections to begin with this week. We're going to look at the rest of the prayer in the coming weeks. I want to just now pray, but just give an example that's based on those first two statements about the Father and hallowed be your name. There are some times you think, well, that's easy for you. You see, you're a pastor, you've been doing this for years. How did I learn? It's the same way each of us learn. We learn by actually doing it, expressing it, taking that opportunity to pray. And I want to encourage you, when you take that time to pray this week, to consider your words. Consider the content of what it is that you bring before the Father. And make sure that you take that time to just honour him, thank him, praise him, glorify him for all that he's doing. And then, Lord, help me. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are your children. What a blessing you have bestowed upon each of us. Thank you for the privilege to be called sons and daughters of the living God. Knowing that you are a holy God and allowing us to approach your throne is incredible. In you, there is no sin. Yet you have made a way that gives us a pathway that leads into your very presence. Lord, we simply want to express our gratitude to you and say that we love you for all the provision you have made through your Son, Jesus Christ, for each of us. Lord, we give you the glory. Father, God, may your presence be with us. May your blessing watch over us in the coming week as we ask this in the precious name of your Son, our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm going to hand back over to the praise team to lead us in a